Let's take our Bibles once again and turn to Proverbs 20, verse 17. 20, verse 17. Proverbs 20, verse 17. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Now, to a regenerate, the glorious truth of the gospel, that is, Christ alone, grace alone, by faith alone, is the message of life. The gospel of God's free grace. That message that is the glorious declaration of how Almighty God can be just. And God justly dealt with sin at Calvary. Christ died. He truly died. Why? He was made sin. And God Almighty dealt in absolute fairness those sins of God's people. Now you listen to me. They became the Lord's. Those were His sins. How God Almighty could be made sin and be the holy, harmless Lamb of God. I can't explain that. But I'm telling you, God did that which Almighty God demanded. He truly put away the guilt of His people. And those sins, the Lord said in Psalm 40 that Neil read from, He said, "Mine iniquities." He didn't say the iniquities of my people, which they were. But they truly became His, and God Almighty dealt with them. How can God be just in dealing with sin and justify the sinner? Declare that a sinner not only has no sin, but he never had any sin. He had to make a brand new man. Created him in righteousness, holiness in Christ. And that which is born of God doesn't sin. And I look within, all I see is, as John Newton said, is dark and wild, filled with unbelief. Can I deem myself a child? And I love that verse in there. He said, "You that know the Lord." Is it so with you? Isn't that the way you feel? We live by faith. But that message of the gospel is the truth of how God's eternal will and purpose to show mercy and compassion to a people of His choosing. I'm going to have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'm going to have mercy and compassion on whom I will. And whom I will, I'm going to harden. And a believer says, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're right, Lord. Whatever you say is right." It's the message of Christ, who is the bread of life. That's what He said in John 6:48. "I am that bread of life. I'm the bread," He said, "that gives and sustains the life of my people." John 6:51. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, that I will give for the life of the world." Everybody in the world? No. He won't pray for them. Who did he say he died for? My people. What did he mean right there? The life of the world. Now you listen. You listen. If I know that Christ said he died for his elect, I died for the sheep. He told those Pharisees, he said, you're not my sheep. I died for the sheep. Well, that means that he died for a particular people. But what does it mean when God so loved the world? I've told you this before, but I need to hear it again too. What does it mean that God so loved the world? God Almighty loved the arrangement of mankind. He loved the order of man. He loved the world. That's not everybody in particular. Because you tell me that Christ died for everybody in particular, and I can take Scripture and I can beat that down. That ain't right. That's not right. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. The good shepherd giveth his life. John 10. Good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The sheep. So when he said God so loved the world, he loved the order of man. And for Almighty God to preserve the order of man, if God would not have sent the Messiah to save a people of God's choosing, I'm telling you, the order of man would be no more. Almighty God is just. So God Almighty loves the order of man, is what he's talking about. God so loved the world. He loved the arrangement of mankind. He made man. He made man in his image. I don't understand the fullness of that. I've got some thoughts, but I'll just take it that God made man in his image. And God loved this order. And he said, I'm the bread that comes down. I gave my flesh for the life of the world, that the order of man would not perish. He's the truthful bread. John 6:32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. He is the truth himself. He's not false. He's not deceitful. He's not counterfeit. He's not defective. But he's the true, genuine, faithful bread that keeps the souls of his people from death. I am the true bread. So seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives himself, sustains his people, he who is the bread of power, bread of truth. We looked at that verse a minute ago. Oh, taste and see that the Lord, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in covenant grace, that covenant that David said, this is all my salvation, he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Oh, taste that he's good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. And concerning that taste of Christ by faith, here's what a believer says concerning God Almighty as he's declared in this book to be. Psalm 119:103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. A believer's got a new taste. He's got a new taste. It's a divine, it's a supernatural taste. It's a taste for Christ. He hears the gospel preached and he savors that which the natural man cannot perceive, and the sweetness of mercy and compassion and grace. And every time he hears the message of life, he doesn't hear men bragging on man, doesn't hear men telling men how wonderful they are and how great, you know. I know better than that. You do too. But the regenerate perceives when he hears the gospel of Christ, and mercy, mercy, mercy. And that sweetness, it's fresh to him, and it's fresh every time he hears it. And he doesn't want to hear anything else. Don't tell me anything else. You tell me, when I stand up and preach, I want to take a scripture. I'm going to start at that scripture, and I'm going to do, Lord willing, like Philip did. Beginning at that scripture where that Ethiopian eunuch was reading. He's reading out of Isaiah 53. And Philip took it, and it says, and where he was, he preached Christ to him. And you find Christ in him. You find Christ in that scripture. That's what a believer wants to hear. Jeremiah 15:16 says, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. A believer hears the gospel, and it's sweet to him. And let me tell you what that taste of sweetness really is. Now let me tell you what's sweet when you hear the gospel. When a believer hears the gospel, I'm gonna just make one statement out of Scripture, out of Jonah 2:9. This is the sweetness of the gospel. Salvation is of the Lord. Isn't that sweet? Salvation is of the Lord. From its inception to its procurement by the blood of Christ to its application to God's people by the Holy Spirit, salvation is of the Lord. And how much of that was man involved? How much did man contribute to that? How much, you know? Nothing. Nothing. God chose to save. God saves, and then God tells him, I saved you. And a believer goes the rest of his life wanting to hear the sweetness of that message. Just tell me one more time now. Tell me one more time how God saved me on purpose. Tell me how God Almighty never looked to me for satisfaction. And tell me one more time how he doesn't look to me right now for satisfaction. And tell me again how he's keeping me by power. Tell me again how the Lord has stood for me as my surety and answered every demand for righteousness. Tell me that one more time. Tell me one more time those words of the Lord from the cross. It is finished. It's finished. It's over. And according to God's word concerning those that's been made willing in the day of God's power, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the time of affliction, in the time of old age, in the time of God's judgment, they're not going to be ashamed, for in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. The Lord will provide. So the glorious gospel of God's grace is sweet to the taste, to the spiritual taste of God's people. But according to our scripture today, this gospel of free grace that doesn't give man any credit, but I'm telling you right now, if there's anything that we did or we thought we did that made salvation to be completed, we're going to brag on me. I'm telling you, man's a bragger. He just, whatever he does, whatever he finishes, whenever he finishes with a project, back up and look at that. Man, I did a good job. Like I said, man by nature, here's what he's going to say. If he thinks that he's done something to contribute to his salvation, he's going to say, I know I didn't do much. But at least I, not by works of righteousness that we've done. So this message of free grace, it's not sweet to the unregenerate. It's not. Proverbs 20, verse 17 says, bread of deceit is sweet to a man. Bread of deceit. Now we've been talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the bread of heaven. Bread. That which we eat. That which we savor. That which we enjoy. But here, bread, you know, is that carnal attitude, that sin within every man, that the bread that is sweet to to a man apart from the grace of God. Let me tell you what that bread is. Turn with me, 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to show you exactly what it is. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, 14. 2 Corinthians 11. I may have written down the wrong scripture. I used to try to watch these. I've written down the wrong scripture. I'll tell you the scripture I'm looking for, if one of you can give it to me. It's talking about another Jesus. Another Jesus. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1, 6 and 7, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now this other Jesus that I was looking for, that particular scripture, Paul is rebuking those that were listening to men that would preach a gospel that mixed man's works with God's grace. Now let me tell you how this another Jesus is set forth. Men speak of grace. They talk about grace. But when they give their explanation of grace, what they make it to be is this. It's a gracious offer that God gives. But they're needing for you to accept that gracious offer. They speak of Christ, they use the word grace, but when they give an explanation for what they're saying, it's works. It's works. If I offer you something and you've got to take it to get it, then you've got to do something in order to obtain it. But Almighty God gives that which men by nature can't accept, what they cannot possibly receive. And then He gives them a heart to realize and to know what He's done for them was something totally apart from their ability. So it has nothing to do. A bread of deceit is that proclamation of that another Jesus, another gospel, that makes man's works to be mingled, which you can't do, with God's grace. Romans 11, 5 and 6, even so then at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, Paul said, it's no more by works. The message that makes man's work to be vital to salvation, that makes God's will to save a man from his sins dependent upon a man's will or ability to make a decision, that's the bread of deceit. That's not the bread of heaven. And there's nothing in it but deceit. Proverbs 4:17 declares that the carnal man will eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. They eat or they savor that which will not satisfy. And this is what I mean. It may satisfy a man's pride right now. But what about satisfy God? It may soothe a man's conscience for right now. That message, that bread of deceit that is salvation by man's ability. And what they drink, the scripture says in Proverbs 4:17, is the wine of violence. That means wrong. Everybody can't be telling the truth. The wine of the great whore Scripture reveals in Revelation 17, who has made the inhabitants of the earth drunk or intoxicated with the wine of her fornication. That is spiritual adultery against God. You know, you too much intoxicating beverage, man, you're not thinking. You're not reasoning. And spiritually, if a man is drunk, spiritually intoxicated, he thinks himself to be right, invincible. And the sad truth concerning this scripture right here is that that message, the bread of deceit, is sweet to a man. I know that for a fact. I've experienced that. It's sweet. It feeds his flesh. It puffs him up. But afterwards, the scripture says, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Whenever you take an old millstone, and if it's a new one, especially if it's a new one, and you start grinding, you know, grinding that grain and making grain make bread, and that new stone, it grinding, there's little pebbles and rocks, and it gets off till that millstone is worn down. And you make bread out of that, and you start eating it. And it, you know, you ever eaten an egg, it's got a little piece of eggshell in it? Don't you hate that? I hate that. I love eggs. I hate to get an eggshell in that thing. I love mussels, the little fishy stuff, you know, but I hate to bite down on a grain of sand. I just, you know, man by nature, he loves the bread of the sea, but afterwards, his mouth shall be filled with gravel, you know. And what the Spirit of God is relating to us is that the sufferings, the affliction of all those who will not bow to the Lord Jesus Christ for life, bow to Him, for all those that are enjoying this temporal sweetness of man-centered, man-honoring, free will gospel, afterwards. And oh, the horror of afterwards revealing or having it revealed that what you've eaten has been deceitful. My heart breaks. And I'm serious. I got people that I know, people you know in my family, and they're so sincere. And I love them. I love them. I want them to hear the truth. And they mean well. I know they mean well. But I know what they're holding to is contrary to these scriptures. And it does. It grieves me. And I pray God have mercy. I know He's the only one that can. I can't convince them. But I think if you die believing what you're believing, according to these scriptures, not according to what I've made up, what difference does it make what I think? But what God Almighty has said. If you eat that bread of deceit, it's sweet to you right now. And I know you're proud. I know you're thankful that you've been so faithful. And you're just on and on. I understand all that. But there's coming a day afterwards, his mouth's going to be filled with gravel. Right now, I want you to turn with me to Lamentations. Lamentations, right after the book of Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations 3. Now this particular chapter right here, the Lord Jesus Christ is being set forth. This is Christ speaking. I know it, Jeremiah penned them, the weeping prophet. These are the words of Christ. Lamentations 3, verses 1 to 3, and I'll show you. I am the man that has seen the affliction by the rod of his wrath. Now, you know what? Nobody, but the Lord Jesus Christ could pen those words, Mike, Because if a man has seen the rod of God's wrath, he's not around to write about it. He's not around to write about it. That man's in hell. So that man's words are not going to be around here. But I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before he ever actually went to the cross, these words were written. These were Christ's words. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I am the man that has seen the affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me, brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. And you read all the next few verses. And it's a continuation of the Lord's speech and his words of his affliction at Calvary for his people. But I want you to look at verse 16. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. Now let me tell you what he just said. Every man, every woman, back in Proverbs 20, verse 17, that eats that bread of deceit that's sweet to him, and afterwards, unless God calls him out of darkness, his mouth shall be filled with gravel, with affliction. The Lord Jesus Christ says in Lamentations 3:16, I experienced exactly what every one of my sheep would have experienced but for my grace. He suffered exactly what every one of his people deserved. He tasted the wrath of God for exactly all that he everlastingly loved. He said, my teeth, I suffered that. So what we deserved, he bore. So you that will think that you'll enjoy the sweetness of that bread because of its promises of pleasure and profit and honor and liberty and life, listen, according to this word right here, it's going to produce nothing but shame and distress and disappointment and destruction. You think, how can I know whether or not I'm eating the bread of deceit? How can I know whether I'm eating that bread? Let me just ask you this question. Who gets the glory for your salvation? Who gets the glory? Does Almighty God get all the honor and all the glory and all the praise? Or is it something that you think you're doing to merit your salvation? If you've got one speck of your works involved, you're eating the bread of deceit because salvation is of the Lord. And I'm closing here. I want to close with that in Proverbs 7. You go back and read this. Read that chapter if you want to. But Proverbs 7, it was a setting forth a truth about a man that was void of understanding. I'm going to just tell you what happened for the sake of time. And the scripture says he was passing by a harlot's house. And she was subtle, crafty, subtle of heart, loud and stubborn, and one that caught this man, kissed him, and promised him pleasure and love. Like the message of today's man-centered religion. Remember, ask yourself this, who gets the glory? And with her fair speech, the scripture says, she caused him to yield. With her flattering of her lips, she forced him. And he went after her straightway. That is, he went after her suddenly, like an ox to the slaughter, till it was too late. And her wooings and promises of pleasure, like that bread of deceit that's sweet to a man, had a bitter end. After it was all over, after he had spent his time with this harlot, and he realized what's happened. And it's all about, it's spiritual adultery. This woman is a picture of spiritual adultery, false religion. And it entices people. I'm real. I'm sufficient. I'm this, I'm that, and the other. And when it was all said and done, he was struck through the heart with a dart. I mean, through his liver. He's with a dart through his liver as a bird that hastens to the snare. And he never realized that everything that she was doing was for the destruction of his life. False religion. It's so subtle. It has so much truth. There's so much truth in it. There's so much in it that's true. But that little leaven, that little bit of leaven, Almighty God wants to save you. I'll go along with you, even if he's talking about God's elect, but I'll go. He wants to say, Christ died on the cross. I'll go along with you. You're a sinner. I'll go along with you. I'm with you. You know, God wants to save you if you'll let him. No. You just nullified everything. You nullified everything you just said. A little leaven, just a little leaven. It leavens the whole lump. This bread of deceit is like a man putting a sweet morsel. Good piece of candy or something, you know, under his tongue, rolling it around. He's just not willing to forsake it. Not willing to forsake it. He's just not going to forsake it. Years ago, my mom and dad had, we'd all worked there. Mom and dad had a restaurant. And there was a little fella, one little boy, one night. They were getting ready to leave, and on the line there, they had little half ears of corn. You could go down and go through the buffet, had a seafood buffet. And you'd go through and get what you want and stuff like that. And this little fella, he had a half-eaten ear of corn. Mama, you remember this. And that little boy would not let that. His dad and mom was wanting to go. He was wanting to go. And that little fella had that piece of corn in his hand, and he kept gnawing on it and stuff like it. And he was running all over his. And his dad was trying to get it out of his hand. And that little fella was just, I mean, he was having a fit. He was not going to let that corn go. And my dad came up to him and gave him a little piece of candy. He said, I'll trade you. That little fella just gave him the candy. I gave him the corn, and my dad gave him. Henry was there. Henry was standing there, and he said, I'm going to use that as an illustration. I did too, you know. And man, by nature, he'll take that sweet morsel of false religion, sweet to him, and he'll put it under his tongue. I'm not going to give that up. Listen to what Job says. Job 20, verse 12 to 14. Though wickedness be sweet in his mouth, though he hide it under his tongue, though he spare it and forsake it not, but keep it still within his mouth, yet his meat in his bowels, it is that food that he thought was so sweet, is turned, that is, to poison. It's the gall of asp, of snakes, that's within him. Oh, my friend and my brethren, there's one that promises life. You listen. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You won't earn it. You can't earn it. I'll give it to you. John 6:50, this is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. And the promise in closing of the Lord to all those that's been made to bow. Listen to this out of Revelation 1:17-18. And when I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet as dead. Now this is what a believer does spiritually whenever they see the Lord, who God is. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of hell and death. I pray God bless this word to our hearts. Help us to hear. Help us to see. And ask yourself that whenever you're thinking about men. We, Everybody's eating spiritually, eating something. You know, whatever I'm eating, does the Lord get all the glory for it? And if he does, that's the bread of heaven. If I'm eating that bread that makes me to be a contributor, that's the bread of deceit. For Christ's sake, bless these words. Amen.